Very loud. I feel very loud. Am I loud? No? Okay, it just sounds a little different for me. Okay, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to actually do prayer first and then our lesson afterwards. And as far as the singing is concerned, we're just going to dispense with it so we have more time for prayer and our lesson. So what I want to do is, you can take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to read our scripture. But then I want to take prayer requests. It does feel loud. It just feels unusual to me. I'm not sure. So anyway, let's go ahead and read from 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to pick up in verse 6 and read through the end of the chapter. That will. Interestingly enough, even though it's the end of the book, it will really help us acclimate to our study later on when we do it. So, verse 6, let's start in verse 5. It says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you be submissive one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love." Socially distant, I guess. "Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus." Amen. I added the socially distant, obviously. All right, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to take some prayer requests. Just be ready to have some prayer requests for us. Oh, actually, I'm going to read a prayer letter from one of our missionaries tonight as well, and then we'll take some prayer requests. Let's pray first. Lord, as we come to you this evening, we pray that all we do and say in just even our prayer time as well as our study time this evening in 1 Peter would all be honoring to you and would be pleasing to you. It would be edifying to your people. We know that you are pleased when your people gather together in unity and pray together. There is a special blessing to that. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us tonight as we pray together to do so, understanding that you are pleased when we pray together. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so let me begin by reading this is from the Comstocks there in New Zealand, rather, not New England, very different. They're in New Zealand, and I want to read just their most recent letter from September 2020. They say, "Dear praying friends, how fast time flies when you are busy. August has come and gone, and September now has also almost passed. Thank you for being patient with our updates. It truly has been busy. August began the start of a very busy term for us as a family. We're thankful to be able to move about again freely within New Zealand, although Auckland is still in stricter lockdown. We were blessed to have NZBBTP, Bible Institute, students come to New Plymouth to take the class Craig was teaching. The three girls officially in the Bible Institute were joined by a young man in our church, Anthony, who is seriously praying how God might have him to serve. Him with his life, serve him, meaning God, with his life. The course was on public speaking, and all four did a great job. Please pray for Anthony as he seeks God's will for his life. During September, we were able to host a teen girl sleepover, a youth activity, and a tween teen board game activity for the homeschool group as well. The Pipers also hosted a fun food and fellowship night for our church. Our church enjoys these monthly and every other month fellowship gatherings. And this time we themed it with dressed up in a costume that began with R. We had a good turnout. There were many creative costumes. Pastor preached a message warning against hypocrisy in our daily Christian walk. In addition, Peter Boxholm, a well-known motocross racer and coach who is a believer from another good Baptist church in Tauranga, was visiting the Pipers and shared his testimony with the church as well. In addition to these activities, Leanne prepared a message for a session for ladies' retreat, and she coordinated the homeschool expo. Hope both of these went well. Ladies' retreat was a huge spiritual encouragement to both her and Rebecca, and we pray that our interaction with the homeschoolers will lead to fruit. We've also been able to get back to rest home services. The sweet elderly in these homes have been so lonely due to the limited visitors during COVID-19. The rest homes still require a temperature check before you can enter, but it is a minor inconvenience to be able to minister to these souls. New Zealand is starting the 2-week school holidays, so we are now preparing for youth camp, which is normally in April, but was postponed due to COVID-19. It is hard to believe that youth camp is next week. The pastors are stepping up to speak and are ready to challenge the kids to dare to stand. Please pray for our youth to grow during camp. Garth Piper, our coworker, is the camp director, so we have a very active role in assisting with the camp. Please pray for us. With school holidays starting, the kids and Leanne get a much-needed rest from the busy last term they've had. They had swimming, skating, piano lessons, as well as some free squash lessons. What is squash? Does anybody know what squash is? Okay. Almost every afternoon, sounds familiar, I just can't place it. Like racquetball? Okay. With no racket? Okay. With your hand, use your hand. Okay. They look forward to more balanced school term coming up. We are thankful spring is here, trees are blooming, and days are getting longer. They said they moved and they've got their address there. It's opposite. Days are getting longer for them, and yeah, it's there exactly. Prayer requests. Youth camp, men's retreat. So youth camp was the 5th through the 9th. So they're in the middle of that now. Men's retreat is 29th through the 31st. Salvation for lost with whom we are sharing the gospel. Anthony, particularly discernment for God's will in his life, continued spiritual growth. And that is their prayer letter. A couple of these are on the youth camp is on the prayer list as well. So that is the Comstock's letter. So we want to make sure that we pray for them tonight as well as others. Now, this is the beginning of the month, and so I want to, in addition to what are your weekly requests, if you'll notice there aren't a lot of major life concern requests. And so I want to give you a chance to add your monthly ones to that. So these will stay on for a month. And so any requests either for the month or for this week? Any requests? Or if you just want to say a request, I'll decide whether they're for the month or the week. That's okay too. Pray for, I will mention one, pray for Enrique's ordination coming up. That'll be a monthly request. That's going to come up. He's going to be, the ordination council is going to be on the 13th. And so pastors from the area will come and grill him. And, November, I'm sorry, November the 13th. So they're going to grill him hard here and, about 3.5 hours, and that's what we'll have lunch in between so he can catch his breath. And then we'll have an ordination service on that Sunday at 3:30 a.m. Yeah, 3:30 p.m. 3:30 p.m. In lieu of our evening service. The reason we're doing that is that any local pastors who could come, we want them to be able to come to the ordination service, and that would give them the ability to be able to do that and still be at their services if they desire and are able to. So that's happening. So be in prayer for Enrique with all of that and his, and then obviously we'll be voting him in as an elder here as well. Any other prayer requests? Yes, Kristen.
Oh.
Okay. Okay. So we're praying that it doesn't actually have to happen at the end of the month. Okay. 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 Any other prayer requests tonight? Things to pray about. All right. Hisham, can I have you pray for that, for Kristen there, as well as if you go ahead and pray for the Comstocks, for the youth camp going on this week, and their men's retreat that's going on soon.
Needs and supplications before you. Lord, here tonight we remember Comstock in New Zealand. Lord, we do pray for them first for protection. We ask the Lord for open doors and that your Holy Spirit would guide them and encourage them and also work in those people who come in contact with them. Lord, we do pray for their youth camp that you have it now. We don't know how many, we don't know any details other than, Lord, that you are there and that there are souls that are listening to your word. We do ask you, Lord, to work in the youth attending camp, to work in their hearts. Lord, to soften their hearts and let them see their sins so they would come to the decision and to the knowledge that they need a Savior. And that is the Lord Jesus. Father, I do also ask you to keep your hand of blessing on them and open doors for them, and the men's retreat would be fruitful and many men would be encouraged with that. Father, we do also pray for Kristen here in this assembly. We ask you, Lord, to keep your hand of blessing and safety on her. Lord, I pray that she would come to the full term of her pregnancy with no complications, and that, Lord, that she, her heart desire is to have a normal length of the pregnancy, and that she would be able to get it, to have the delivery done with no induction. Lord, you are in control, and we know that you have the best interest for us in your heart, Lord. I do ask you to be with her, give her the help and the strength and encouragement, and that doctors would be have the wisdom they need and the knowledge they need, and that whole thing would lead to her doing your will. We ask you, Lord, to keep her safe and keep the baby safe, and that she would rejoice in the safe delivery. We ask you all that.
And Kristen, that's already on there, but we will add the details a little bit more there for continue to pray for you for the month. Other things to pray about. Nobody has requests. Nobody has anything to pray about. That's hard to believe. Oh, Elizabeth. Okay. All right. So Elizabeth's parents are down there, and there are a few others down there we know. Actually, it's Actually, Zach's parents are down there too at Pensacola. So pray for the hurricane, the Pensacola area as the hurricane comes in. So we're praying it stays up. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you want to pray that it stays west or just pray for protection for everybody. So, like, there's people west. Anyway, yeah. Actually, if it goes too far west, my I have cousins and uncles there, so aunts and stuff. So anyway. Yeah. I know, I have aunts and uncles and cousins there in Louisiana. Yeah, and that's something, yeah. Forgot about the whole other side of the family that's in Slidell area. Yeah, anyway. I don't know. Any other requests? Dave, would you pray for the hurricane, the protection for the Pensacola area and different family members that are represented down there for us?
Lord, we come to you humbly and boldly and ask your guidance and protection for those in the path of Hurricane Delta, that whatever your will is, of course, will be. That we pray that everybody that we know and we pray for will be safe, there will be no injuries, no loss of property, or the thing that just dissipates before it hits the coast. Lord, that is within your purview to do that. We'll also pray for the as retreat, that might go smoothly. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah. All right. Other prayer requests. Harry, did you have something? I think you said.
I was just going to mention Freddie.
Yeah. Definitely. Pray for Freddie and spiritual growth, right? Is what we're.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. We definitely will. Good. Any other prayer requests? Enrique, would you? Yes, Joe.
Our president.
Yeah. Pray for him. I guess he is on the mend there with COVID, from what it looks like. But we'll continue to pray for him. Enrique, would you pray for President Trump as well as Freddie for spiritual growth?
Father, thank you for this day and all the help and the strength that you've provided. And we thank you that we're able to gather now and pray together to you. And we do pray for our president and his wife and also many who have been affected in the White House. We ask that he would continue to heal and protect them from serious damage or further complications from COVID. We ask that that all would experience a full recovery. And Lord, we thank you for your recent working in Freddie's life, and it's so awesome when we get to see a life that is transforming because of your gospel and because of the truth working in someone. And we ask that this is a course that Freddie would stay on, and that he would have your truth that you would protect him from attacks and thoughts that don't conform to your word. And we pray for his steady growth and closeness to you, that his fellowship and walk with you would grow stronger and stronger. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, other requests. Pray for Josh Mullins. He is traveling. You can also pray for just health of different people that there's several people not here tonight that usually are, so pray for health of people. Anything else that, how's your week going? You having a smooth week? Piece of cake? No problems? If you're not, maybe you have a prayer request. Pray about it. Yes, Henry.
It's a normal week.
Okay.
Which means it's full of lots of different things. So I think when I'm dealing with new customers for my side business, it's always interesting. So I guess I'd ask in that regard that he would be clear and that there would be no miscommunications in what is expected to be done. He has a trailer and a skid steer that he wants repaired.
Okay.
Trailers I'm familiar with. Skid steers, that would be a new one for me. We'll see.
Okay. I would ask prayer. This has been a very busy week for me. Nothing bad, just really, really busy. So I just always need prayer about that. But if I could ask everybody to pray this particular week. Some weeks are busier than others, but this one seems to be unusually busy. Yes.
Just for God's perfect timing and the completion of this construction mm-hmm. that's going on in our house. Contractors seem to be disappearing and things seem to not be being finished.
Mm. Okay.
That, which is about normal.
Yeah. All right. Definitely will pray about that. Harry, would you pray about those things? Pray for Josh Mullins is traveling. Pray for health, just of people that are away today. Customers for just dealing with new customers for Enrique and Carol as well with her kitchen that would get wrapped up. There's actually quite a few there and. I'm really busy this week, so if you pray for all those.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege and the joy we have to be able to bring our cares and concerns before you and our praises and our thanksgiving. We thank you so much for that, Lord. And I just want to lift up Josh to you tonight, Lord, that you would please be with him as he travels. Pray that you would keep your head of protection around him and show him mercy. Protect him also from touching any viruses or anything, Lord, and I pray that his trip would be fruitful and good, and I pray you would use him in any way while he's out, Lord, to be a good witness to you. Pray that you would also bring him back home safely. And we pray also for some of those in the church, Lord, who are struggling with health issues. We would just ask for your good hand, please continue to be upon us. You've been very gracious and very kind to us. And Father, we ask that you would heal those up who are not feeling well. And bring them back to good health, Lord, so that they can be here with us to worship you together. And Lord, I think of Enrique and all that's going on this week with him and this new customer that he has. Father, I pray that you would give clarity to the customer and what he wants exactly, and that you would give wisdom to Enrique to be able to understand what all he wants and be able to do that in a way that's pleasing to you, Father. And so we just ask that you would give wisdom and strength to Enrique, and that, Father, it would be done to your glory, and the gentleman would be very happy with the work. And, Father, we do lift up Pastor Jim to you, Father, and just his busy schedule, Father, I pray that you would please be with him and continue to guide him, Lord, and give him rest as he needs it. Give him strength and ability, Lord, to do things in an orderly way, and just help him to, with his scheduling, and to be able to, that you would continue to just encourage him and sustain him and guide him as he has to make different decisions and doing different things during the week. So we ask for your continued blessing upon him. And Lord, I lift up Carol and Tony and all that's going on at their home, Father. We're thankful for your goodness to them, that they can get things updated and renovated and all. We just pray that your timing would be we know your timing is perfect, but we ask that you would be with those who are working to be able to get everything done and completed and do a good job of that, and that they can get their house back in order. We ask for your continued guidance there for that. And Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and your kindness again to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, I got a prayer request by text. I don't usually check my texts, but I had a hunch that since I got a prayer request on a Wednesday night, you know, at 7:26, that maybe it was somebody texting. So Erica, I think, is out with her kids, but she must be watching. She has a wisdom teeth. They're getting pulled on the 15th, so she would like prayer for that. That's perfectly fine, by the way. If you all don't want to raise your hand and say so, you can text me, and that works. So, anyway, we need to pray for Erica about that. Pray for the deacons meeting tomorrow night. We have a deacons meeting, and it's a lot on there to discuss on the agenda. I think that's why I'm so busy, is I'm getting ready for that, and there's all these things I'm trying to get in order to get a bunch of stuff done. You know, it's funny. I was just reading, I was listening to something or reading something about a pastor's job, and there's always this thing that goes around, he only works one day a week kind of stuff, you know, that's nonsense. It's funny sometimes, I think to myself, I wonder if all of the things that are going on behind the scenes, if people realize how many decisions actually have to be made. It's just sort of funny. But it's kind of like, actually, one deacon told me one time, it's kind of like a clock with all of these different pieces that all that you think has happened is these heads that go around, you know, the minute hand and the hour hand, and that's all you see. You don't see all the pieces behind it going like this to get those things to work. So anyway, I thought that was a good illustration. All right, so please pray for us tomorrow night. All right, let me ask, who can I ask to pray for those two things? Dad, would you pray for those? Pray for Erica for her wisdom teeth, and also pray for our deacons meeting tomorrow night.
Small children. Lord, also pray to be with the deacon's meeting, which is an important but laborious task at times to go through the minutiae of the things that have to be done in the church. I pray, Lord, that you would just give these guys faith, been patience and strength to do the work that is set before them. I pray that you guide direct and allow it to be a good time, Father, and a spiritual time also at least.
Amen. All right. Laborious minutia. Nobody's going to want to be a deacon after that. It's not that bad, right, guy? Right. Yeah, well, anyway. All right. Any other prayer requests? Okay, I think we'll go ahead and move on to our time together in 1 Peter. And so go ahead and take, if you haven't already, take your Bibles and turn to that book, 1 Peter. And we'll be looking at various things tonight in that book. I am really excited about this book and starting it. And I think you'll see why as I go through this. I think it's just going to be a huge help to us as we go through this. So Martin Luther said this about 1 Peter. He said it is one of the noblest books in the New Testament. He said it is a paragon of excellence on par with even Romans and the Gospel of John. And I have to agree with him. As I have studied this book, I have been, you know, really digging into it. And as I have, I've been amazed by just how amazing this book is. It's like my new favorite book outside of Exodus, which is my other favorite book and right now. But it is really an excellent book that I think we'll find to be extremely beneficial. One of the things that I noticed about this book is that it actually has a great deal of apologetic content. So we were going through apologetics, and you probably said, well, what happened to that series? Well, I've been studying through 1 Peter as I've been going through apologetics, and I realized that there's so much content that is related to apologetics in 1 Peter. I'm sort of saying to myself, well, why don't I just preach through 1 Peter? And the other thing is it deals with what we are going through in current events, things like worldview and the government and opposing views and how to deal with those. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." It's verses like this and examples like this that really show us that this is going to be an extremely relevant book for us. When we are thinking about a book of the Bible, let me ask you this question. Okay, when you're opening up to a book of the Bible to either read it or study it or both, what would you say is the most important question to ask? Now, you may say what do you see there about God, and that's true. You need to find out what is it revealing about God. And that wouldn't be a wrong answer, but another also equally right answer would be this: what is the purpose of the book? That is an extremely important question to ask when you're reading a book, when you're studying a book. You're to ask, why did the human author write what he wrote? Why did God then use the human author to write what he wrote? What is the purpose of this book? So you have 66 books of the Bible. Everyone has its own distinct purpose, and it's our responsibility to figure out what the purpose of the book is. It's like the preface in the beginning of a good book. Any good book has a preface in the beginning, and you shouldn't skip over the preface, because the preface tells you what the purpose of the book is, and then it becomes the guiding principle with which you interpret the book. It's a very, very important thing to understand. So we need to understand, we need to discover the purpose of 1 John. 1 Peter. 1 John would be good to do, but 1 Peter right now. All right. So we need to discover the purpose of 1 Peter. Now, let me ask you a question. If you're reading through a book of the Bible, what would you think would help in discovering the purpose? Just curious. Any ideas? What's going to help you discover the purpose of the book? Yes, Julie? Okay, excellent. That is exactly right. So you first need to read through the book. In fact, I would recommend that you read it through several times, and it will help you if you read it through in one sitting, if you can. Get the forest, get everything about, you know, get the forest before you go in and get the details, and see the trees. If you don't know what forest you're in, you're not going to be able to ID the tree correctly. So read through the book several times. Anytime I study a book, I try to read through it several times. First Peter was no different. I read through it on multiple occasions just to get a feel for what forest I'm in. Where am I at? And that's the first thing you should do. I'm curious, what else might you do to gain the purpose of the book? Help understand the purpose of the book. Julie, you have another one? Okay. Yes, Lisa.
Or things that are repeated.
Good, good. Okay, themes and repeated. As you're reading through, you're going to look through different themes that are repeated. Good, excellent. What else? Okay, looking at the recipient of the book. That's really the background information. Who wrote it, who it's written to, those kinds of things. So there's two major categories. It's reading through the book itself, and also the background information, how both of those things will help you. And when you read, ask this question, what's the purpose? What's the purpose? What's the purpose? That, by the way, will help you to actively read a book, by the way. You ever read through something and then afterwards you go, I don't even know what I read? How many of you have ever done that before? You've read through something and you go, I have no idea what I just read. Your mind was off in a thousand different places. And yeah, you did actually read the words on the page, but you have no idea what you read because you were passively reading instead of actively reading. Well, if you want to actively read something, you have to have a question in your mind. There has to be a question. And the right question to ask when you're reading through a book of the Bible is, why is this written? What's the purpose of the book? And if you actively read that, even background information, when you're reading First Peter and looking at a study Bible or looking at a commentary, a background commentary or whatever, anything like that, and you're asking the question, what's the purpose? What's the purpose? What's the purpose? How will this information help me to determine what the purpose is? That's active reading of the book. And the question, what is the purpose, is going to really help you read through the Bible. You should do this in your devotions. If you're reading through the Bible, just to passively read through the Bible, that's not going to be very helpful. But to actively, purposefully read through the Bible and ask the question, why is this written, is going to really help you. Okay, so what might you, now I'm basically giving you information on this. You could pick this up if you read it. But a couple of things, important clues to the purpose of the book from reading. Number one, the reader will notice that this is a letter written by the Apostle Peter to a general audience. And you see that in the very first verse. Just look at the very, very, very first verse. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So we know Peter is an apostle. So that's who's written it, who's writing this. By the way, when you're reading commentaries and background information, it's amazing how much can be written on who the author is to a book like this when it says right there who wrote it. It's kind of amazing. I often will skim through that section pretty quickly because if the Bible says who wrote it, I'm pretty much going to say, yeah, that was Peter who wrote that. To the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, you might want to know what that word dispersion means. You'll need to know that later. But for now, if you're just reading through the book for the first time, you can immediately notice from the very first verse that this is not just written to a particular church. It's not written to a particular person. This is written to a general audience of several churches in various locations by one man, and he's an apostle, Peter. Okay? And that's going to help you. That's a clue. We can't determine the purpose of the book by that, but it's a clue. Okay? So that's going to help. We're reading through this, and you're going to read through it, and you're going to see a variety of subjects addressed. You're going to see things like you're a peculiar people, you're a holy nation. You're going to see things like it's going to start talking about the role of a wife toward her husband and the role of her husband toward his wife, and it's the role of the government and how you should respond to the government and what the role of the government is. It's going to talk a very wide variety of subjects in this book. And you're just going to notice that as you read through it. The reader will notice a common theme of suffering in the book. You're going to read throughout the book and you're going to see this sort of cropping up. And the farther you go as you read this book, the more you're going to see about suffering through this book. It's going to be a common theme of suffering through the book. And that is going to really then kind of clue you in more as to what the purpose of this book is. The reader is also going to notice that the writer is attempting to help them with the hope, to have hope and not fear. The reader will notice that the writer is trying to help them have hope and not fear. You're going to see this hope. You need to have hope. Here's why you should have hope. And you'll also see this term, this concept of fear in the book. And that's going to begin to flavor for you what the book is talking about. And it'll help you narrow even more what the purpose of the book is. And then you actually find a statement of purpose in the book. And this is really going to help you. So if you would turn, you're coming to the end of the book and you turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. We read this a few minutes ago. But notice what it says. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him. And then you see this, I have written to you. Oh, we better listen to what Peter says. What did Peter write? Why did he write? He's actually going to tell us right here. I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. So it has something to do with it being the grace of God in which we stand. So standing in the grace of God somehow is going to be a real key thing here. And that's going to really help us clue us in on what the purpose of this book is. But you're going to take the other information and we're going to kind of put this together and come up with a purpose statement. Okay, that's just from reading the book. Even just reading it once or twice, you can get that much if you know what you're looking for. All right? Now, just from what we said so far, do you think you're in the forest? You really are. You're in the forest. You haven't identified the exact tree. You don't know exactly what the purpose is, but you're in the general area. Okay. Then after you've read the book several times, then what do you do? Well, it's really good to look at some of the background information of the book. What are some things? Somebody mentioned them already. Dave mentioned recipients of the book. What are the recipients? What are some things that might clue you in on the purpose of the book? I actually think recipients is probably one of the most important. Because if you can figure out who it's being written to, then it's really going to help you narrow it down. For example, if you know it's written to believers, that's going to help you understand the purpose of the book. If you know it's written to a certain group of believers, if it's written to a particular church, if it's written, those are kind of things that are going to clue you in. But what else? What else might you be looking for that would be helpful? Any ideas? All right. Yes? Yes, time period. Very good. You want to know when the book is written. Okay? Now, why would that help you? Well, I'm going to tell you ahead of time here that the book is likely written around 63, and some of you are going comatose just by me mentioning a name, mentioning a date. Oh, I'm tired. Okay. Don't fall asleep. It's important. Okay, in the first century, a lot of things happened. 62 and 63. There's one really, really important date in the first century that happened that you should think of when you're going through a book. Does anybody know what that date is? There's excellent. 70 AD. Who said that? Oh, good. Good, Joy. Very good. Okay. What happened in 70 AD, Joy? That's right. The desecration of the temple in Jerusalem. That's what occurred. And knowing that date is going to tell you, okay, well, 70 AD, what do we know from 70 AD on? There's a lot of what? Persecution. Okay, you got heavy persecution before that time, or during that time. Right before that time, what emperor comes to power? Nero, that's right. And Nero is a bad dude. Okay, this guy is evil as evil can be. You can't, and crazy, and probably demon possessed, maybe. I mean, the guy is a total bad guy in every way imaginable that you can think of. He's perverted. He's gross. He's weird. He's crazy. He's just nuts. Okay, eventually he's so nuts the Roman Empire says you're nuts. But it took him a long time to figure that out. Okay, and he did a lot of damage. What do we know about Nero? Anything interesting about Nero besides what I said, which is a lot, but anything we know about Nero? Yes, he persecuted Christians. In fact, he was so crazy, he did so many crazy things like burn things all the time, and he needed to find some sort of scapegoat, some sort of group of people to blame this on, and Christians were the easy target to blame his craziness on, okay? And so he blamed Christians. He'd do something crazy, and he blamed the Christians for it. There were a small group of people. They were considered antisocial, and so he would blame them for that. Okay, that hasn't happened yet, though. This is before the onset of when Nero comes to power. But it does tell us something. What we do know, and we're going to get this a little bit more, but what we do know is they are looking ahead, and they're seeing persecution on the horizon. Their freedoms are being taken away. They know that they're looking ahead, and there are local areas that are experiencing persecution. Christianity is not nationally illegal yet, but on all of these different locations, they're beginning to experience persecution either from Jewish people, and in some cases from Roman citizens. They're beginning to experience this, and it's only getting worse, and they're seeing by this point that it's getting worse. And frankly, they have no idea how bad it's going to get, and it's a good thing they don't, because it's going to get really bad. It gets so bad with Nero that he actually toward the end of his reign, he will cover the saints with some sort of burning oil, and he'll light them on fire, and he will light his gardens with Christians as he raises. I mean, the guy's sick. Okay. All right. And so they're looking ahead, and they're seeing this kind of suffering and persecution. They're already going through suffering, as we can see from the book. We've already seen that. Who? Well, it's a mixed group of Jewish and Gentile believers, but it is probably mainly Gentile believers. We know that it's a mixed group of people from this word dispersion, okay? In the very first verse, it says dispersion. And the dispersion, does anybody else know where you find that word found in the New Testament? It's actually, I think somebody said it. It's in Acts chapter 2. You find that in you remember Pentecost? Where all kinds of Jewish people actually, in that case, came from all over Asia Minor and various backgrounds, various ethnicities, various languages came at Pentecost and they became the church, basically. Okay, that was a dispersion of people. Well, this dispersion is in a location where there mainly would have been Gentiles. That's an indication that who he's writing to is primarily Gentiles. It's mixed Jews and Gentiles. But some of the things that we see in the book, there probably were at least some Jews that were influencing the Gentiles, because there's a lot of references to Old Testament content, and that would tell you that. But there's also a reference to New Testament. Or there's also things like that you were once, he'll talk about, you were once lived in the vanity of your minds as pagans, living in debauchery and lust and drunkenness and carousing and all that kind of thing. And that is more likely talking about Gentiles than Jews. The Jews were not good. They were sinners. But they were usually a little bit more behaved than that. And so it's likely, it's probably a mixed Jewish-Gentile audience, but it's heavily Gentile. And that is actually going to influence how we interpret this book, actually. When he begins to say, you are a peculiar people, you are a holy nation, and he's talking about Gentiles, what does that mean? You'll have to wait and find out. It is an intensely practical book as well. We need to understand this. Luther believed it contained all that is necessary for a Christian to know. That's what he said. And, you know, I would not have necessarily agreed with that, but as I have studied this book and understood this book better, I tend to agree. I don't mean it. I don't think it's all exhaustively, like there's nothing like, okay, throw the rest, the other 65 books out of the Bible. Not that kind of, but it covers so much of what is necessary in the Christian life and how the gospel works practically, that Luther was able to say this, and it's something that would that makes it very profound. In other words, if you're trying to get a handle on the Christian life, if you're trying to sort of wrap your mind about what does God expect of me, what does the Christian life look like as a whole, how am I supposed to live out the Christian life, this is the book for you. You can find it here in one book. Romans, just a couple of things in understanding about the Christians and how the Romans viewed them. This is going to help us understand some of what the book is talking about. The Romans viewed Christians like Jews as antisocial. I mentioned that. But Romans also viewed Christians as atheists. The Christians were actually the atheists in the first century because they didn't believe in many gods. And so actually the Romans called them atheists. Now it means something different. It means no gods at all. But they rejected all of the multiple gods of the philosophers, so the Christians were actually originally called atheists. They were considered cannibals. They would say things like, we are partaking of the body and blood of Christ. And of course, we all know what that means in communion, but the Romans began to accuse them of this, even though that never actually happened. They would accuse them of this because they exaggerated the Lord's Supper because they didn't understand it. And they accused Christians of being incestuous. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. Because Christians said that kind of thing to each other. Then they were accused of that as well. These are the kind of accusations that began to populate and began to take hold in the lives of the Roman and in Romans' thoughts. And these were the things that were very concerning to the Christians. And they said, and why they were so concerned about suffering and all of these different things. Okay. All right. With all of that in mind, we actually have now likely enough information to come up with a purpose statement for this book. Would anybody like to take a stab at it? How would you, it's not like a right or wrong, well, there'd be wrong answers, but it's not like you're going to be definitely, would anybody like to take a stab at what should be included in a purpose statement on this book? Well, nobody wants to take a stab at it, that's okay. Luke, Kristen, okay, yes. Okay, how good. It's certainly going to include how to live as a Christian. And one of the things you do is you turn your cell phone off on the service. But, sorry, that wasn't fair. He left the room. Anyway, so it's going to include that. What else, Joe?
How to have hope in the presence of coming persecution.
Okay, how to have hope in the presence of coming persecution. Yes, Rose?
Something with submission included, I'm sorry, when you're going through suffering, if you take it with submission, how it leads to glory.
Okay, good. What else?
Perseverance.
Okay. All right. Let's look again at 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse 12, and I want you to notice something. He's saying to us what the purpose of the book is. Okay? And he says, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. Now, the New King James and the King James are words this, it's not quite clear. Okay? If you look at other translations, the word stand is a command, and it is in the Greek as well. It's a command. That's going to help us. So it's telling us, actually, the reason I've written is so that you will stand. Now, stand in what? Where are we supposed to stand in? In grace. In grace. Do you see that? We are to stand, and actually, in the word in there, it's in the Greek, okay? All right? Literally, this could be translated to stand in the grace. Okay? All right? To stand in the grace. All right, so what is the purpose of the book? Let's put all this together in a statement. To encourage and instruct believers to stand in God's grace amid the distress of this present evil age. Okay? To encourage and instruct believers, and this is my purpose statement, okay? But every part of this is important. You're going to see Peter really wanting to encourage the believers in this book. You're also going to see instruction in this book. You're going to, why? So that they can stand in the grace amid what? Amid what? Well, I put distress here. That would include persecution. It includes suffering. It includes all kinds of difficulty in life. To stand in the grace amid the distress of what? This present evil age. Now, let me just ask you, you read that statement. Is that not going to be helpful for us? Extremely helpful. Okay? And we're going to learn, we're going to break this introduction up into two. Next Wednesday, we'll learn exactly how that's going to be helpful as we go through just a cursory understanding of the book. But understand, to encourage and instruct believers to stand in God's grace amid the distress of this present evil age. Every part of that is important. Okay? And we really get that from 1 Peter 5:12, as well as what? Well, we're reading through the passage. We're seeing it's an evil age. We're seeing the distress. We're seeing encouragement. We're seeing instruction. We're seeing it to believers. All of that's necessary in order to come up with a purpose statement. Okay? Make sense? All right. Now, let me just ask this question is. The real question then is, what does it mean to stand? Right? I mean, if that's the purpose of the book, we need to understand what that means. And I'm just going to take a few moments and go over this. What does it mean to stand? Number one, standing is contrasted with falling. It's not contrasted with sitting. When we think stand, we think the opposite is sit. It's not in biblically. The opposite of standing is what? Is falling. We see this in a couple of different places. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Therefore, let him think he stands, take heed lest he what? Fall. You see the same thing in Romans chapter 14, verse 4. Who are you to judge another servant to his own master? He stands or he falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. So that even, that tells us right there, that really helps us understand what standing is, but let's continue. Standing means to firmly establish with confidence. To firmly establish with confidence. Romans chapter 3, verse 31. Do we make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On contrary, we establish the law. It's the same Greek word. To establish. So standing means to establish. By the way, what are we standing in? The grace. We're standing in grace. And that actually we find in other places, not just in 1 Peter. In fact, if you take this word stand and you look through the entire New Testament, which I did, and you take it every time and you read through it every time, in the beginning, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you've got this idea of standing as literally standing. You know, Jesus got up and stood up, and the disciples stood up, and they sat down. And okay, but by the time you get to the different letters that Paul wrote to the churches, you now have a totally different meaning for stand often. Not always, but often. And stand means what we're talking about. And he says over and over, for instance, Romans chapter 5, verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we what? Stand. See, it's not just in 1 Peter. Paul says it too. And rejoice in what? The hope of the glory of God. Peter's going to teach us how. He's going to teach us how to stand in grace and to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 15:1 says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you what? You stand. We stand in the grace, or we stand in the gospel. It is the grace of God. It is in the gospel that we stand and we do not fall. And Peter is going to teach us how to do that. We stand by faith. How do we stand? It's by faith. Romans chapter 11, verse 20. Well said, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. You stand by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but our fellow workers for your joy. For by faith you stand. And then, number five, we stand against who? We stand against the devil. It's interesting, in Ephesians, you have this word a lot in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 11 says, but on the whole, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Therefore, taking up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And then Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I want you to get this picture in your mind. Imagine a flagpole or a long pole, a sign pole, something like that. And it's really going to be, it's going to have to go through the wind. Maybe it's, you know, the Pensacola Hurricanes or something. It's got to be strong. Okay, in order for a pole or a building or anything to be strong and to withstand the winds, what's going to have to happen? Any ideas? It's got to be standing in a strong foundation. According to what we've seen, what is the foundation? It's not hard. It starts with a G. Grace. Grace is the foundation. It says to stand in the grace. That is, Peter is telling me, if I'm going to withstand all of the winds of the devil, if I'm going to be able to stand amid the distress of the evil day, if I'm going to be able to stand, I'm going to have to go really, really deep in the grace of God. I've got to stand in the grace of God. We stand against the devil. And that is what it means to stand. And Peter is going to teach us exactly how to stand in the grace of God. Next week, what we're going to do is we're going to look at a general outline of the book, and we're going to see, hopefully by now, this is the question you're asking. Well, how is Peter going to do this? How is Peter going to help me stand in God's grace so that I can withstand the winds and the distress of the evil day? How can I do this? How is Peter going to help me? We're going to learn next week. We're going to go through just generally go through the book, and we're going to learn how Peter is going to do that. And then we're going to begin the following week, and we'll start going through the book verse by verse, and we'll begin to understand in a detailed way how this is going to happen. I can't tell you how needed this book is. And I can't think of another book in the Bible outside of maybe Daniel and Exodus that are more needed right now in our time period, in our present day, and how much we need this as believers. Because is it not true, folks, that we are up against a lot? And the truth of the matter is, if we really want to be honest with ourselves, it may not be that long before we're in persecution. It is entirely possible. And we need to know how to stand. And this book is going to teach us how to do it. All right, let's close with a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we come to you this evening, and we thank you for this book. We pray that you would help us as we go through this book to learn how to stand in your grace. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your gospel. We thank you that if we can learn how to stand in it, that we will not fall. Lord, we are living amid great distress in our day. But that is not a surprise to you. And it is not as though Christians never went through distress in the past. First century Christians, as we have learned tonight, went through great distress. And they were equipped with this book to be able to go through the distress of the evil day and to be able to stand. And Lord, I pray that as we go through this book, that you would teach us exactly how to do that. And Lord, that we grow from it, that we would be established as a result of it, and that we would be increased in our rejoicing of our hope because we are learning how to stand in your grace. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right.